So good morning again. Thank you all for being here. As you know, we're working with the situation as it is, and we're not supposed to be singing, so we're trying to do songs that you can sing along to in your head if you know them well enough. The first one, obviously, was in honor of Amelia Carr. That song, Amy, she was called Amy when she grew up, and so we've always associated that song with her, and of course, she was pledge drive chair for many years, many times, so that was an honor of her. And then this last song, Ripple, we often play with John Hyatt, who wasn't able to be here today, and also Ron Mummy, who also plays with us often. I think of both of them. So anyway, thank you to Rick, thank you to Reverend Alex, thank you to all of you for being here. Thank you to Jennifer for giving her time to play music. I've been working very hard on the service. In preparation, I took a trip to the other side. You know, I like to keep in touch with the other spiritual dimensions, you know, so that I have a sort of sense of what's really going on in all of the different universes. And in this particular one, I went to the spirit world, and I ran into, as I was wandering around, as it happens, the ghosts of Pledge Drive's past, Pledge Drive's present, and Pledge Drive's yet to come. Alex asked me if I could work Halloween into the service. I just did, if you noticed that. So ghosts, right? Anyway, and sure enough, they had a lot to say, the ghosts. They had messages for us, you know? And so we communed there in that other realm and had conversations about who we are and who we might be. The ghosts of Pledge Drive's past had actually lots to say. She was very energized, very bubbly. You kind of had to be there, so I can't give you the whole concept, but I will try to imitate kind of the way she talked. She was like this. She was wearing this hat, which is a costume, Halloween, right? She said, "Oh my God, remember the dinners, you know, the songs, the gooviness you all had at all those pledge drive events. It was great. The mystery dinner. Remember that mystery dinner where each table had its own objects and they had to describe them, and then there was a Mad Lib thing, and where everybody was spread out over the living room and the dining room. It was great. And remember all those funny songs like, I got the church right here, you think it's very clear, and liberal guilt, it's always there, and I am the very model of a modern Unitarian. That's our friend Bill up there who sang that one. And gonna give a lot of money to the UU Church. Do you remember all those events? They were fantastic. Yeah, we had so much fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember Joyce Milberg and Mike Thompson? They hit a bear on the way home from one of those at night. And I said, really? God, that's horrible. Was it okay? And they said, yeah, oh, yeah. They said it ran into them. And then it ran off, and Mike was going to go talk to it, but decided that running off to talk to a potentially angry bear in the forest was a bad idea. So they don't know, but they think he was fine. And I said, well, that's probably a good idea. And that one time, she said, that one time they had the dress-up dinner that was everybody was supposed to be 50s, and you, she was pointing at me, said, you put Vaseline in your hair to be a greaser. I think it took you like a month to get that out. And I said, yes, that was me. I was stupid back then. You did, she said, though. You did get lots of pledges, I have to say. You did it in all kinds of different ways. You had the big events. You had the circle suppers. You had the visits, the one-on-one conversations. You even had the come to Jesus moments when at the annual meeting, the pledges didn't match the budget and you needed to fix one of them, and you decided to fix the pledges right there in the sanctuary. You did that. And I said, yeah, that's true. She wandered off. She had too much energy. But she was right. We did do that kind of stuff. We did lots of fun things, and we had lots of events, and that was then, and this is now. But it did, you know, we got pledges. We got big pledges. We got little pledges. People gave as they could, and this building is here. It's still standing. The parish house is there. Our congregation is still here. So I wandered around. I was kind of reflecting on that. Wow, that was exciting, but I was thinking, you know, when I run into the ghost of Pledge Drive present, it's not going to be so bubbly, right? I mean, I'm not going to tell you about why it's not a good time to celebrate right now, but it seems tough, you know? I mean, you know, wander around and there's just like pandemic and political stuff and just pressure and everybody's worried about one thing or another. So when I did run into the ghost of Pledge Drive present, he was sitting on a stump in the middle of a forest, surrounded by nobody and wearing a mask. And I felt like, oh man, I should be doing this on Zoom. But I thought, that's stupid. I'm going to travel all the way to the other side and then do a communication online. Forget it, right? I'm going to talk in person. But anyway, I thought he was going to be really depressed, but he was not nearly as depressed as I thought. He said stuff like, hey, I've been waiting for you to show up. Yeah, let's get this pledge drive started. Let's get it on the road. Let's start the party. And I said, party? What party? There's a pandemic on, haven't you heard? You know, there's a climate crisis and political crazy. We can't even go, we can't even sing songs in church. We can't even go to people's houses. And he said, ha, nah. Not everything is so bad. You know, you got the building, you got the people. I said, yeah, that's true, but I don't know, still. And he said, remember you, Josh. Remember when you had that terrible COVID fatigue? I said, remember it? I'm barely over it. I had it for 9 months. He said, remember? Remember when you went out for a walk and you were like, heck with it, man. I'm upright. That's a victory. I don't care about anything else. That's what it's like. I mean, you're here. The congregation's in here. Sure, it's a little smaller. Sure, times are tight. But you are still surviving. You're still being a church. It's really important. You are succeeding. This is victory. I said, but yeah, well, will people still give money? I said, oh yeah, they're going to give money. Absolutely. People will give money, he said. First of all, because they want to give money. When they donate, when they're generous, it makes them offer something to the world instead of just sucking energy out of it. They want to do this. And when you give them an opportunity to be generous, they will take it. Now, you got to do good stuff with the money. You can't do dumb stuff with the money. You got to make sure that it's serving the community. You have to hire people who do very good work. You've got to maintain the buildings. You have to reach out and help the people who need it. But yes, people will give. However, you do have to ask them. They just won't give it just because they want it. They have to be asked. And I said, every one of them? Every one of them. And whose job is that? That, he said, apparently, this year, is your job. I did not ask him how I got that job. Many of you have had that job, you know how it goes. He said, yes, this year it falls to you, but there will be people who will help. But you must ask every single one of them. Well, I let that settle on me a little bit, and I was thinking, yeah, well, I guess that's what I'll do. You can all expect to hear from me or somebody like me fairly soon. If you don't want to hear from me, you can just approach me and tell me how much money you'll give us, and then it'll be fine. Then you don't have to hear from me. I talked to Joyce and Mike the other day, and that's what they said. They said, don't call us. We'll give you money. Right? But anyway, that's what I'll do. I was thinking about that, you know. That was a good pep talk I got from the ghost of Pledge Drive present. But my visit to the other side was not going to be complete until I had my conversation with the ghost of Pledge Drives Yet to Come. And I wandered around, and eventually I found them. They were there, and they were rooting through this bunch of stuff, like mugs and t-shirts and other swag. And I was thinking, oh my God, is this what the fate of Pledge Drives is? Are we gonna be like WQLN? You know, are we gonna get like a mug for a $500 pledge and a pen for a $2,000? Are we gonna have to just listen to people yammer at us until we finally give them money to stop them from talking? It works for WQLN. Why wouldn't it work for us? But no, I really don't wanna do that. So I had a lot of foreboding when I went into this conversation with the ghost. But then what happened was unexpected. Because apparently, just before talking to me, the ghost had been talking to Rick and knew all about the plans for the future. And
And here's what they said. They said,
"Josh, how are you? I hear things are going, they're pretty exciting for your congregation right now, aren't they? The next bunch of years are going to be kind of interesting, cool. You know, you're really meeting the present, not trying to live in the past, not trying to create something that doesn't exist, but living right there where it needs to be, doing what needs to be. You're going to be partnering with other organizations. You're going to be leveraging the energy of your people and the beautiful space you have. And you're going to meet the incredibly intense spiritual needs of this community. I mean, there is no time in history I can think of when people have needed more actual spiritual nurturing than now. It's not just food and money. People need those things. People are struggling, but they need, well, they need to be able to be in a place where they can bring their joys and their sorrows, their anxieties, where they're not pressured to be ultra positive or to pretend that there's another world that's better or to wall off from the horrible stuff, but they're also not expected to be sad all the time. They're expected simply to be themselves and to be met by other people. This is exactly, exactly what is needed right now. You people are really on the ball."
I have to say, I was kind of taken aback because I don't know anybody who's excited about the future right now. And it didn't
feel like it was over-idealized. It felt like this was, the ghost had kind of gotten a sense of what was really needed and thought that we were doing the right thing.
Rick must have done a heck of a selling job with this ghost. I mean, it was really impressive. But then they went right on.
"This is the first time that I have heard anybody give a positive view of what the church can do in a time of crisis. You know, I mean, there are a lot of good organizations that can help, you know, and do good works and all that stuff, but dealing with the deep spiritual questions, the existential questions, wow, this is important. I mean, so many people are struggling, and you're really going to be there. And I know you don't know all the answers and all of that stuff, but I really think you're on the right path."
And I said, "Well, that's great, but dude, I'm not sure you can call a non-gendered spiritual being dude, but anyway, right? Dude, how are we going to fund it?" And the ghost said,
"You're still going to have to ask people for money, right? But they'll give, and they'll give because they want to do something positive. But I love that thing that you're doing where you're going to make less distinction between who's a member and who's not, who's in, who's out, who's like-minded, who's other-minded. I love that you're just going to ask everybody for money. Everybody who walks in the church, for any reason, you're going to ask them to share the cost with you. I think that's brilliant."
So they went back to their t-shirts and mugs. And they are right, of course. I need to focus on my job here. It's going to be asking for money for the next month or so. But I was really heartened. I was really heartened that there were real possibilities for our congregation. Even in this size, with these resources, we have a lot we can do. So this is Pledge Sunday. You remember Pledge Sundays of the past? The hoopla, streamers thing, not going to happen this year. Circle suppers, not going to happen this year. Singing "I Am the Very Model of a Modern Unitarian," unfortunately, Bill is not going to be able to sing that for us this year like he did that one time. But you know, that's not what the church is about. Church is really about us connecting with each other and through each other connecting with the sacred. And we can do that here in this space, and we can do it over in the parish house, and we can do it in phone calls, and we can do it on Zoom. It only takes a willingness to open to that part of us that is vulnerable, that is insecure, that is longing, that is reaching out, that's desperate for connection. And that can be done anywhere, even by ourselves. But it's so much more powerful when we're together. Togetherness, though, means not only physical togetherness, it's a conception, it's an understanding that we are in this together. We are here, we are connected to all those people who have made this building happen, and all those people who will come and who will look back on us and say, "Remember that pandemic? They made it. They made it through. Church attendance across the country was collapsing. And yet somehow they did it. Boy, those people, they had quick minds and open hearts, and their souls somehow must have been touched by something greater. Perhaps ghosts from the other side. So to me, that's what it means to be in this church. It means to be able to show up, to be with each other in all of these really incredible ways that don't take a lot of fireworks. They just take showing up and looking each other in the eyes and being willing to be with a person in their life and have them be with us. Not friends, not like-minded people, but people who are ready to show up for each other and with each other. That's how we roll. And I say, amen to that.